Hello, everyone. Before I start the episode, I wanted to say thank you to everyone who has listened, downloaded, and shared this podcast. We are always trying to improve, and all the feedback you have given us has been great. I would also like to encourage you to subscribe to our daily newsletter to stay up to date on the newest podcast episodes, industry insights, and Mercator Advisor Group commentary. Again, thank you to everyone who comes and listens to our episodes, and now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Payment Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack, and on today's episode, we're going to be talking about consumers and the state of the debit industry. And to help me with that conversation, I have Sarah Grotta, who is the Director of the Debit and Alternative Products Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group, and Dr. Kathy Snyder, the Debit and Prepaid of Shared Branch Product at Co-op Financial Services. Sarah and Kathy, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Ryan. Thank you.
Yes, thanks, Ryan.
Excellent. Well, certainly glad to have both of you here on the episode. So to get things going here, Dr. Kathy, what are you seeing in regards to overall debit usage among credit union members? And also, why should credit unions be focused on improving debit card issuance and usage?
Well, that is such a great question. And you know, when we think about it, debit is one of those payment vehicles that consumers certainly accept, they embrace it. According to the Federal Reserve, about 70% of electronic payment transactions in the U.S. are being done on debit card transactions. And there's really nice, steady growth over the last 4 years. And when we think about it, you know, that happens because members use those cards every single day. They're getting cash, they're paying for things at purchases, they might be using a PIN, they might be using a signature, but it's such a fast, easy, convenient way to connect those members to their accounts at their credit union, and it really drives that meaningful relationship and drives engagement for them. So while debit is such a strong payment vehicle that we've been using, you know, we're starting to see some other things come into play, things with P2P and, you know, less and less people may be carrying cash. And so there is sort of this transformation that's happening. I don't think it's anything that's going to happen significantly overnight, but we know that debit users know how to use their debit card. They're comfortable with them, they feel safe and secure with them, and it really connects them in a very nice way to their credit union.
I agree, Kathy. You know, it really is that everyday connection between a member and their credit union. And there's, I think, a great deal of value that comes with the branding, seeing their credit union name on the face of their debit card. And you're right, too. It's interesting that this payment product that has been around for decades now is also being seen as a point of new payment innovation. So to your point, we're seeing its role in some P2P transactions and also some B2C distributions through things like push payments. So I think debit cards are here to stay.
Great. Now, when we're looking at debit card usage, you know, how does debit card usage differ across demographics such as age and income?
Well, that's another interesting question. I only have to look at my 23-year-old son and those younger millennials. You know, I don't think he even has checks. He's had a debit card since he first opened his account. But he knows how fast and easy and convenient it is. He doesn't like to live and use his credit card. So I think that younger millennial, the 18, 24, maybe some of the lower income earners, they might be more likely to use that debit card, and they just sort of gravitate to it. It's kind of embedded in the whole payment experience for them. But what's interesting about that is it does create such an excellent opportunity for credit unions. And how can they really use that as a tool and a vehicle to encourage that complete relationship with their credit union as their primary financial institution? And how do they use that card to, you know, build a credit history so they can move into some of those other credit accounts? And then at some point in time, they start to migrate them into some other payment vehicles that are at their disposal. But definitely the millennials and the maybe the lower income users their users really gravitate towards that debit card.
No, I certainly find it that interesting that you brought up the millennials and kind of that younger demographic and where I do actually fit into that millennial category. I am not as young as your son is, but I certainly say that I share quite a bit of the same usage patterns that he does, in that I do remember going to the bank and getting the checking account. You get your books of check your checkbook in the mail and everything, and I can honestly think I've probably used about maybe 5 checks from that book, and predominantly kind of switched over to just using that electronic debit card system. So I definitely agree, just from my own personal use of kind of using the debit card. And then, interesting enough, kind of seeing, as you're saying, credit unions taking a look at that particular vehicle and saying, okay, how do we then evolve and get that person to use other different payment methods, such as, potentially credit in that. So with that in mind, I certainly wanted to ask, what are some of the tactics that credit unions are using to increase debit card activation and usage that you found in the study?
It's really important to remember that from the minute you open that relationship, it is so important to engage that member, that new consumer that's walked in off the street, they've opened that account. And if you want to drive that primary financial institution relationship, how do you ensure that before they leave that branch, they have a card? And we see an awful lot of credit unions that use instant issuance technology. And the member walks out, the card is activated, and they can walk out using it. And how can you then take that the next step further? So when you think about the evolution and the life cycle of issuing a card, getting a piece of plastic in their hand, and ultimately even a digital issuance, which is making that card, that relationship available, to digitize it so it could be loaded into a wallet in the future. But then you have to go on from there. You have to issue it, get it in their hands, and then how do you use marketing tactics? With an instant issuance, you don't have to worry about a card's going to come in the mail and it goes in the drawer and it sits there and no one uses it. They walk out, so it's active. But then how do you drive further engagement with email campaigns? Integrating rewards and loyalty. And we've also seen that other digital products, that ability to have card controls, to turn my card on and off, to set some limits, giving the consumer more control over that card, more direct access, digitizing it and enabling it through their mobile devices. All of those things really drive engagement and create those patterns that you want to see over and over. And then, there's always rewards programs. And it's so interesting because, we saw in the survey that only about 11% felt that their rewards program was very effective at driving that debit card usage. But we see data over and over again that a well thought out, well executed rewards program does become an incentive to reach for that card. Millennials, everybody likes free things. Everybody likes points. And I don't have to do anything. I just use this card and then I can get those things. So I think that rewards, while they may be a little bit underutilized, and there's so many things you can do with merchant-funded rewards to really offset the cost of it, it's driving engagement and behavior from the minute they walk into the branch to start that relationship, through the whole life cycle of growing that relationship and really reminding them about how connected they can be with that debit card. We just see that as really fundamental to debit card growth and usage.
Now, and I'll add on to that point. It's that rewards are of particular interest for the millennial consumer. So this is all falling together very nicely. So we have an interest on the part of credit unions to attract the millennial users, and debit cards are a product that they really enjoy. And then they're also very incented, much more than older user groups, to gravitate towards rewards. So they find those particularly motivating.
Excellent. Now, I'm glad that we're really on the subject of debit card rewards here. So the question that I've got is that, so debit card rewards are still relatively uncommon with credit unions. You know, looking at the study, it showed that 65% of credit unions are not currently using debit rewards. So why should credit unions consider adding them?
Well, just because of the fact, you know, and it's surprising that the usage is so low, the 65% that are not using it. It gets back to how do you drive that behavior, and really thinking beyond the day-to-day transactions, you know, when you're at a merchant or you're paying for things, but how do you incorporate other payment activities, things like paying recurring household bills, and how can you, it's really about getting that card everywhere and then tying a reward to incentivize that behavior so that they do use those cards and create those very deep relationships. So it's about awareness, it's about engagement, it's about rewarding them, driving loyalty, and it's everything. It's from the minute you open that account to every single time you need to connect that consumer to their account to conduct their life, basically.
Yeah, I agree. It's really about creating that muscle memory, if you will, to utilize the debit card for all of that everyday use type of transaction. And rewards really help to drive that. And we have seen really successful implementation of all sorts of rewards programs that are beneficial, not only just, you know, driving that activity, but are beneficial for the overall relationship. Some credit unions are offering rewards for both debit and credit card activity, and that way members can start to accumulate rewards even more quickly and enjoy those benefits.
Yeah, I think you're really onto something there, this idea of rewarding the total consumer relationship and combining products. We've even seen credit unions that, you know, you open a loan account and you get, you get bonus points. So it's the every payment vehicle and every piece of the relationship and tying them together for integrated rewards experience.
Yeah, and then, you know, even as we think about, you know, impressing upon our members the importance of digital options, you know, there can be rewards associated with, you know, putting debit credentials into a mobile wallet or something like that. It can really help to just reinforce all of those options to members.
Right. Now, I think that mobile mindset is a great segue really kind of into this next topic here. So we know that members are increasingly shifting towards, you know, mobile banking and mobile payments. So what are some of the benefits and challenges of integrating mobile into the debit experience?
Well, you don't have to go anywhere, look anywhere anymore to see consumers have their phones in their hands. So they're everywhere. They're everywhere that their consumers are. And they, you know, they use them to communicate. They use them for, you know, all sorts of information. You're standing in line at the checkout. You can get a coupon on your mobile phone that, you know, you would have never thought to bring the coupon that used to come in the mail or that you might get with a statement. So mobile and digital has become so deeply ingrained in consumer behavior, and you know, it's very robust. It has capabilities, and when we think about debit and how we want to create this digital experience, it starts, I think, with making sure that you have a good, solid digital and mobile banking strategy. And how can you make it seamless for a member to understand what their balance is? They can look up a check if they want. They can pay someone else. And it's really about, again, going back to the life cycle and the entire journey, how do you create more services and deliver them through the mobile device that, you know, you used to maybe have to go to a branch for, or you would call a call center for? So I think it's about information and access, but how do we morph this further into self-service and meeting more of their needs. And part of this, we talked about card controls and alerts a little bit before. You know, consumers love that secure feeling that they get. You know, you use your card, and let's say it's over a $300 limit transaction or something. You get that text message that says, you know, this is your card. Did you do this transaction? Reply no to stop. They like that feeling of security and control that it gives them. And when you think about the fight against fraud and how fraud has kind of morphed from the plastic world into the card not present world, we're seeing so much more of that. The ability to say, I'm going to just turn my card off because I'm not using it, or I lose it, or I forget it someplace. They can very easily, with digital mobile apps, just put those card controls in place. Using mobile and digital to say, I'm going to, you know, give that debit card to my son at college, but I'm going to control and restrict the spending and perhaps what they can do through it with limits. So I think so much of it comes back to consumers love their mobile phones. They have them everywhere that they are. They have no problem downloading and using apps. And the more you can feel them safe, secure, and engaged, and tying them back to the credit union brand, the more that's going to drive loyalty, the more that drives transaction volume, and the more it strengthens the relationship. So it's really about embracing the mobile phone in this whole ecosystem that we're creating.
You know, Ryan, you asked a question about what some of the challenges might be where, you know, mobile and debit converge. And I think one challenge that we find is that cardholders will often set up a default payment type for mobile payments. And sometimes they don't often shift from the one payment type that they set up as their default. And a lot of times that default payment product is a credit card. So sometimes it's a little bit of a hurdle to overcome in getting consumers comfortable with putting debit credentials in those mobile payment solutions. So I think that's an important part to consider, you know, in a mobile payment strategy. But again, here's where I think that demographics for debit are at an advantage. So again, you know, debit is preferred by younger members in that millennial age group, and mobile is preferred by younger members. So I think we bring those two things together, and, you know, pulling debit together with digital can really help to drive up adoption. And then place on top of that what Kathy was saying about card controls. It's a great combination.
Great. Now, Kathy, as you pointed out earlier in the previous question, you know, that a good way to, you know, enhance the customer experience is really to kind of help remove part of the fraud aspect of it. But unfortunately, debit card fraud is on the rise. And it seems a majority of that fraud is occurring with transactions where, you know, as you pointed out, a physical card is not present, such as online or on a phone transaction. And in addition to that, we also have now card skimming at the ATM, you know, is really kind of becoming a large problem here. So what are some of the ways that credit unions can fight against debit card fraud?
It's such an important topic for everyone in the payment space and the credit union and for servicing the members and making sure they feel safe and secure. You're right. So the EMV chip cards came out, and that has really helped curtail that fraud. So what did it do? The bad guys, they moved. And so they've moved into the card not present fraud. And that's where I think a wide arsenal of tools is so important. And it's engaging the member with the things that we've talked about already with card controls, but it's also in making sure that you have new innovative tools. So 41% of the credit unions in the survey thought that their, you know, the fraud tools that they had were extremely effective. But what we're finding is that we even need more robust tools. And that's actually why we've been investing in artificial intelligence. So artificial intelligence has an ability to adapt and learn and grow. And so many of the tools that are in the market today, you know, it's limits, it's the velocity, it's looking for the patterns, but they're still models. And artificial intelligence and Cooper, which is our new fraud fighting tool, we have it in pilot for a subsection of our clients. It's this ability to adapt and grow and learn and also look at more information about that consumer. So we need to be conscious of the fact that you're not only looking at just transaction data, but what if you factored in, you know, the geolocator service? So this transaction happened here. I know that my member is not there because their phone is somewhere else. You know, how do we put those things together so that we can really change the game on the bad guys and look at multiple data points and put that together to create really learning, growing, much more dynamic environment and adding that into the tools that we have at our disposal today. So we're very excited about Cooper and where we're going with that and how it's rolling out.
All right. So before we sign off here, Kathy, if you could give us an explanation of how can credit unions partner with co-op to boost debit card penetration, activation, and usage?
Well, you know, it's such a great story because co-op is dedicated to credit unions. It's who we serve. It's why we exist. And it's our legacy. It's built within the fabric of who we are. So we have 5,600 shared branch locations, and I'll tell you, with the natural disasters that we've all been going through in the last few months here, and you know, here we go again with some things happening in Florida. Shared branching really provides a great value proposition for credit unions to say, you know what, it's not just the 5, 10, 50, or however many physical branches you have. Through shared branching, you have access to 5,600 locations across the entire country. And that means that I can walk into any of those branches and do what I would do in my home credit union. So shared branching is uniquely co-op. It's uniquely credit union. It's built upon the premise and the promise of, you know, people helping people and credit unions working together to grow and compete. We have a surcharge-free network of over 30,000 ATM locations, again, making sure that members have that secure, fast, easy access to their funds, and they're not paying surcharges for that. And then we also have 24/7 call center support, other mobile features. We have marketing services available to help drive that debit card activation, usage campaigns, rewards programs. You know, you can put together an entire suite of services. And so Co-op has created this ecosystem of interrelated products and services that tie together that are so unique in the industry. And at the same time, while we're doing that, we're focusing on data and access to data and how do we leverage that to drive even more innovation. So it's the entire ecosystem all put together, and it's all focused on credit unions and their members. And that in and of itself is an extremely powerful value proposition.
Yeah, I just think it's the completeness of the solutions available throughout the life cycle of a debit card and therefore a member's relationship. So think about the resources available for, you know, account opening, whether that is instant issue or, you know, other account opening solutions, encouraging the use of debit cards through digital channels. The marketing assistance that is helpful to encourage activation for cards that have been centrally issued or marketing programs to encourage usage. And then also solutions to help with rewards and fraud management. It's you know, taking a look at all of those services across the spectrum offered by Co-op that can help with the management of a full debit card solution.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Kathy and Sarah, for taking the time today for speaking to us about debit card usage. And we hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you. It's absolutely a pleasure.
Thank you.